Finance Committee meeting to order. And first order of business is the approval of two sets of minutes from March 11th and the 24th.
Motion Horton.
Any questions, changes, corrections? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Order department requests, Gabe.
Good morning. I'm seeking permission to accept a grant from Lifespan for $5,412.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions on this? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried.
Thanks.
Thank you. Craig.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm here asking that you accept on our behalf the 2025-2026 ATI grant that we receive from DCJS each year.
Motion Horton.
Second. Thiel.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Eric.
I got a lot of questions for Eric.
Yeah, I see he's not bringing us any more money. Like the first two did.
Yeah. Couldn't hear you folks. You got to speak up a little bit. So I've got two requests here. Request and authorization to use landfill cell 78 capital project for the leachate transfer building, supervisory control and data acquisition. So when we had that truck accident, it took out our building down there. It also took out our SCADA system. And it's in the amount of $56,832. This will be the last piece to get everything tied back together network wise and get us on full running. So
motion Horton.
Second Nichols.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Carried.
Thank you. Next item. Requesting authorization to award the leachate treatment plant emerging contaminants improvement project RFP to Barton and LaJudas. We interviewed two folks. They by far were better in the interview process and the RFP process. The project engineering costs are $4,630,000. This service will include all aspects of the project, the environmental design, permitting, grant administration, construction management and project. The key with this is they're going to be on board with us for about 4 years to do this project. It's a drawn out project.
Barton and LaJudas is the ones you've worked with lots of times, right?
Yeah. They've been wonderful. Years. They've been wonderful. We vetted LaBelle as well, and they did a nice job, but it seems in this case, being
right. Motion Horton.
So moved.
Any questions?
No. We're getting a $25 million grant for this, and this $4 million comes out of that. This project, is it going to stay within the $25 million?
So that,
or are we going to have to dip into our pool?
I want to say no. I can't, you know. That's the intent. I also discussed offline with BNL with the language. They were around 5 million. We got them down to 4.6. I also am going to see if they're comfortable with putting the language for a not to exceed number with their fees. I think their estimate for the overall project, from what we understand, Bob, is safe. So I think we're in good shape. But as things get tighter, move forward a little bit, we get some more information on all this stuff.
Just curious.
Yeah, no, it's my intent. We pride ourselves on trying to stay within those realms.
See, Bob, it's important in how you pose the question. It's,
yeah,
it's not, are we going to stay within the $25 million? It's, we are going to stay within the $25
million.
Well, not really, no.
But to add on to what Bob said, the original application was for $25.3 million, and that was with the original BNL number. With them reducing their contract amount brings us under the 24. So we are not expected to be out of pocket for any of this.
Okay.
Originally we were for 300 and some thousand dollars.
All right. That's where I was wanted to know.
Yep. Yeah, whatever we underspend, we don't get.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah, no,
correct.
We can't, yeah, hold on to
that. We're given an award and spend as much as we want.
Correct.
Correct.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, we're hopeful. But remember, Chris said that, not me.
All right. Any other questions on this? We have a motion and second, right? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm doing this one.
Okay.
Sheriff said youth and government, so I asked if I'd do this. So accepting the DCJS grant for two outfitted Tahoes for
motion Horton.
000.
Second. No.
Any questions?
Did we get an answer? Are these replacements?
Yes.
Okay. I couldn't remember. Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Stacy.
Good morning.
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 Your usual monthly financial reports have been submitted. In addition, you have the January through March overtime and temp hire report, as well as the January through March county area summary. We are still in year-end closing, so it's possible that some of the numbers could change, but we're getting towards the end and feel pretty comfortable with what we're reporting. Are there any questions?
The temporary hire overtime, county road machinery, is that 400,563 out of a 611? Do we know if that's just because of the winter season or?
Worse winter than last year.
So do we expect that to exceed the budgeted amount for the year then?
We should have enough in overall salaries to be able to transfer to cover that. There's certainly going to be some overtime once we get into construction season.
Right.
And then the beginning of winter season next year. So.
Right. Because we're already at two thirds, you know.
It's trending third, so. Higher than I'd like. But yeah, it's just due to way more call outs this year than previous years.
A lot of cold and ice.
And tons of drift, talking to Eric, tons of drifts too.
Yeah.
That especially Cohocton area down up and anywhere in the hills, there were just a lot of call outs for drifts as well. It was one of the busier seasons we've had in the last 5-6 years.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't see that because we didn't get an accumbence of snow. But you know, the 2-3 inches once it got on the hills, the blowing. And then the ice, like Bob Sanks, I know, you know, in like a town, it was the same way, using more material. And it was like, well, we didn't have the deep snow, but right. We kept having the small amounts of snow that
we still
created
had,
problems.
Had a lot of salt use and stuff and like
just,
that.
Just right. A bunch. And it stayed colder for much longer than previous seasons. Yep. So, yeah.
Does it usually run the first quarter is usually the most? Because I know you're going to have your last quarter, which you get some winter weather. But
it's normally the most construction season. You'll see some, but that's normally the most. I mean, we talked to some of the MEOs and, you know, they don't schedule vacation that first quarter because that's when they're going to get called out.
Right. I was just wondering how it compares to like October and November, December. Type month.
December, maybe.
Yeah.
But you don't
not
see
so much
October, November.
Knock on wood, yeah. Hopefully we get a more mild winter.
First quarter is always the heaviest.
Yeah.
Right. All right.
But it is trending higher than previous years.
But you're right, Mr. Horton. We didn't see anything in this Hornell area. I mean, I would have thought there would have been less usage.
Yeah.
So until we hear it.
No, pretty much every place else in...
Well, the county shop that's right there, I mean, it literally, they park stuff on part of my property and I see those trucks go out, but down in the valley where the shop is or my house is like, we don't get, but
well, like I say,
you drive to the top of my property with a side-by-side and, you know, they got 4 inches of snow whipping around. So, you know, that's the people, you know, don't see that, the county road. Right. I mean, like
in
my area.
The shop gets more than the Curtis shop.
Yeah, I mean, County Route 17 in my area is one that. It seems like the wind blows 11 and a half months out of the year. So,
a good point brought up.
The other interesting thing I thought is not only the jail, but the sheriff's department. The sheriff's overtime seems per quarter is pretty close. The jail is low if you say a quarter of the 650,000.
Right.
Yeah. It's in my opinion, don't want to speak for the sheriff, but in my opinion, based on the information I have, I think it's a combination of we do have vacancies, but we have been able to hire more temporary part-time folks to fill shifts. They are still running a lot of overtime. And then also inmate population is, you know, comparatively a little bit lower.
Okay. Any other questions on the overtime and temp?
Yep.
I do appreciate your comments you put on that, the financial summary by departments. That basically answers all the questions I'm going to ask.
I try.
Yeah, no, yeah. Those are very helpful.
Yeah. Good job.
Any other questions on any of the other reports? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Did you have anything?
No.
Okay, last thing was, and I'm sorry this came out late, and for the folks online, we'll get it to you through email. Jack had talked a couple months ago about the increasing insurance costs for the total county insurance package. So I had asked Mr. Sprague if he could give me at least a three-year analysis. He gave me five, but the first 2 years, 21 and 22, weren't organized in this fashion, so it didn't make sense to try to do a comparison. But you can see, basically, if you look down at the bottom in 2023, the commercial package is really the key. In 2023, we paid $279,000 for our commercial package. That covers property, automobile, equipment, general liability, benefits, law enforcement, employment practices, excess liability, public officials, okay? And our deductibles were relatively manageable. When you jump up to 2024, that commercial package went from 279 to 384, okay? Slight increase. What became interesting is that law enforcement liability went from 500,000 to 750. So that meant we were going to have to cover more as a deductible. When you go to 2025, you have to take the commercial package of 803,000, which is almost a $750,000 increase over last year or 2023. And then you also have to add 186,000 of excess liability. So we're looking at $1 million for our insurance this year in 2025. And they raised deductibles on everything up to $1 million, except automobile. And workers' comp is separate, so he just put those numbers in as comparisons. But we're looking at $1 million deductible on our insurance policies, and we're paying $1 million in annual insurance costs. So our out-of-pocket, if we have claims, is $2 million before the insurance company would even kick in. And that's not guaranteed they're going to kick in. They could deny coverage for whatever reasons. So Jack and I talked, and I'm of the opinion that we need to do a serious analysis of this and say, are we better off self-insuring? Taking the $2 million a year, or even taking $1.5 million a year and sticking it in a reserve fund, building that up, and we cover our own claims. And I think that way we're not handing a company $1 million that's probably never going to do anything as far as paying out insurance claims. When you ask about, well, what were the largest claims we ever had? Did we ever really tap into this insurance in the past? And Gary, you might remember, but Jack remembered there was a fire at the landfill in a building up there that became very expensive.
Right.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Yeah, it was right before we got here, about the same time. It was right before, and there was pieces of equipment. It was the whole shop and pieces of equipment. The Cohocton fire, I forgot to, because the deductible was lower.
Right.
The property deductible was, you know, but there became question.
I mean, there were challenges with them as far as coverage of that too.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a good point, and it's a conversation that I shared with Scott that I've had with Scott Sprague, with Chris. We've talked a number of times about this. It's due to a number of factors, both claims and general market. The market for insurances, I mean, you probably see it in your own private lives, is challenging. The market for municipalities is very challenging. This is egregious. When we saw it, this was essentially the only coverage that we were able to obtain, the only quote that we were able to obtain and lock in. Our plan is to do a thorough analysis, bring it back to you. There is, and we've never done it. Some of you municipalities might be involved, but NYMER is essentially the PERMA of liability and property casualty. It's never been cost advantageous to us in the past. When Mark was here, we looked at it a number of times. I looked at it since he's left, and it just didn't look like it was going to be a cost savings. But just like PERMA, NIMR is a little more flexible in how they structure their coverages. So we're going to take a hard look at PERMA. But to Scott's point, NIMR, thank you. To Scott's point, I think we need to take a hard look at being self-insured, socking that money away, and then taking a look at buying, I'd recommend some level of excess insurance.
Right.
You know, catastrophic. So if you get a $10 million claim, you're not out of pocket the whole thing.
Because if you look at, I'm sorry, if you look at the excess liability where they're now calling out, you know, $186,000 for this year, that's $2 million limit. And above that is the $4 million limit. So we have a $6 million limit there. We were at $9 million in the previous year, and there was no extra charge.
Right.
So it's becoming very, very expensive to have this kind of coverage. And you have to ask yourself, how often have we ever tapped into it? And are we better off banking it ourselves? Jeff?
So a question, just I think you just touched on it there. So when you say maximum $9 million, that's the maximum they're going to pay out, even if it was a $20 million claim, correct?
Right.
So, I mean, I think you need to do exactly what you're saying. Take, I mean, because you literally could take, if you even if you needed to, you know, out of some type of reserve that we have and start that pop, start our own program with put $5 million in there to start with. If you've had one claim and it was, you know, 15 years ago, that's $30 million we would have saved, you know, and maybe we can up that if, you know, if you want some kind of insurance, make that deductible, that $5 million that we put aside to start, you know, to get, if that brought that million down to 100,000 or something for coverage. Because I'm agreeing with Scott that the chances are of us having that. I mean, if the county building itself was to burn to the ground, it's going to cost more than $9 million anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Didn't you also explain to me that, I thought you said it was NIMR, that they can also provide assessments back to the members for very large claims that the whole fund.
Yeah, there's essentially,
so you carry joint, that, you take that risk
joint and several, and it might have changed. I mean, Mitch was on, while I was at Allegheny, was on the NIMR board, I recall, but there was joint and several liability. And that was one of the things that scared Mark and scared me over the years, is the chances of the entire pool having catastrophic losses where members have to be assessed.
Yeah.
Is low, but could happen. It's a risk.
Yeah.
I would say that, you know, as you know, on your behalf, I'm on the PERMA board, and we've had similar conversations that we're seeing, especially excess coverage, just skyrocket. So,
because just to put it into perspective, the new Curtis shop we just built, wasn't that $3 million?
No more, but yeah.
So roughly $3 million. You got seven trucks in there at $300,000 mm-hmm. per truck. So, I mean, if it was completely just, you're at $5 million.
Yeah.
So if you had to replace the whole, it's only 2.5 years of Scott's $2 million.
And not to get into the weeds, but the thing that I like about it, and Tim and I had a brief conversation, I mentioned it to him last week. One of the things that I like about bringing it in house or talking to NIMR, if they're willing, is once we put a carrier on notice for any claim, whether it be most of the like car stuff they stay out of, but any of the general liability claims, their attorneys get involved. And if they value the claim at a potential amount, they can take over defense. That happened in working with Jen last year, and I think she mentioned it to a few of you. That happened during the landfill incident that we were settling, and we were not happy with the carrier's counsel and how that case was handled. If we have it in-house, then Tim has control over who's whether it's in-house or contractor, but at least it's someone we're comfortable with handling the legal aspects of it, where if the carrier takes it over, we have no say. They have the ability, and that's what they told Jen, like, you guys are out of it, we're taking care of this. So it's a good time to have the discussion. We talked about summertime bringing this back to you. We were planning on doing that anyhow, but it's good to get on the radar.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that nobody had any hard stops on this, that we continue to look at, because it's something you should be thinking about now if we're going to budget differently next year.
Well, and to Jeff's point, and it's a good one, is I'm hopefully next month, Chris and Mitch and Stacy and I are going to be bringing to you some of the reserve changes and in relation to fund balance as well, that after talking with the comptroller, and that's one where we can easily...
if your fund balance is getting too high, that, you know, it's making you nervous. If we were to do something like this, the money's still there.
Right.
You know, with Mitch's investments and stuff, you're still going to be making money off it versus some other company.
And the comptroller likes it sitting in those reserves. They don't question, it doesn't look, they'll look, but they're okay with reserves. But if it sits out unassigned, yes, technically that could be for that. And that's our argument. But if we reserve, then that's what we're going to be recommending, is creating formal reserves for things just like this.
The trouble is, if you listen to them totally, you'd be broke.
Oh, yeah. If you listen to them totally, there is no right amount of fund balance.
No,
you'd
be bonding your public works every year.
So it is.
But we have to be very, as you know, we have to.
Yes. And the way that we'll get into the nuance and we'll talk about it next month if you're OK with it. But the way you handle your capital reserves is essentially a reserve, but it's not called a reserve, and you didn't have a public hearing, so they want you to have the formal reserve. So we'll make the changes they'd like to see. But yeah, I think it, and the market doesn't look like in the coming year, talking to Scott, that it's going to get any better. It'll still be challenging for us. So
yeah, right.
Well, and the price of everything keeps going up. That's why your personal car insurance is going up. You know, you can't replace that truck for $30,000 anymore. It's $60,000 if you're lucky, and $80,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. The biggest thing, I think, are the deductibles are insane. $1 million deductible before their insurance kicks in.
Yeah.
That $1 million, is that per claim?
Per claim.
Per claim.
Per claim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not like $1 million for the whole year.
You'd have to get like 2-3 multi-million dollar claims to justify it.
Yeah, this is the first year. Having the SIR at $500,000, it's not inconceivable. It's happened a couple times in the years that I've been here with the Cohocton shop and other things. Like, you can hit that. And so, okay, you have a protection. You know, we came close with the landfill incident, but $1 million is that's why buy the catastrophic coverage at 3, 4, 5, whatever you want, to protect yourself from, you know, 8-figure claim.
Right. I think that's a good idea. Have that insurance to back us up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Kelly had a question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Sure. Just ignore me. But I think this is a great analysis. And now, if it's $1 million per claim, isn't there also a cap on how much insurance they'll pay out?
Thanks, Scott.
Right. It's $1 million cap, I think, right?
No, it's $1 million per claim, but is the two bottom line, the $6 million for 2025, is that the total they'll pay for a year?
It's the limits column that is what they'll pay.
Per area.
Per claim. So there is no overall cap for the year.
Mm-mm.
Okay. I wanted to clarify that. But I think you're right. We're spending so much money to have this insurance coverage. And if we can do this analysis and bring it in-house, it makes a lot more sense, because then we're benefiting from holding the money rather than somebody else.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the other option, and the prices would be astronomical, that we kicked around a little bit, is going fully insured. But
yeah,
that would be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So did we do an RFP for insurance, and this was the only and this is a company we've been dealing with, right?
So we have a broker. They do that on our behalf.
Okay.
And it was only one at the end of December that was willing to, this was the best deal, even though it looks.
Yeah, I think Scott told me there are basically only two nationwide carriers that are handling municipalities.
So yeah,
people are getting out of municipal coverage.
Tokyo Marine and Travelers.
Yeah, and we had Tokyo Marine before, and that's who we still have.
Yeah.
And this is just, I mean, it's an overall trend. So not only the fact that we've had some insurance things going on, but it's an overall trend that we need to recognize. And I appreciate that you've gone through this effort to help save us money. The constituents appreciate it as well.
I have a question here.
Yes.
It says commercial package is $803,000. The the numbers above that, they're on top of that?
Yes.
They're not included in the 800.
Commercial just covers from commercial down to excess liability.
Right. So, yeah, so you're adding all of those numbers on that page together.
Which you take the workman's comp out because that's this package doesn't cover that. That's separate. Yeah. Right?
Right.
Right.
So you add the four above it, five.
Yeah, 1.2 million.
Yeah.
And then you add the 800 to those, right?
And then you add the 186
yep.
of excess.
Yep. And then the five
for crime.
For yeah. crime. Okay. I didn't know.
Crime hasn't changed in 3 years and it's very low. So obviously we don't have any
major
soft laws in the county administration or they don't see it as a risk.
No, I guess not.
Yeah.
Just for me, excess liability. So the idea would be to get a separate policy for excess liability and then insure ourselves for the rest.
I think you would want to have some sort of catastrophic so that if for some reason you got a $5+ million claim that you're not out of pocket to the end.
And how does that trigger?
We put them on notice. So if we had an incident, there's one that I can think of that we have right now that potentially we put the carrier on notice. They do their analysis of, you know, the actuarial exposure. And if it looks like it triggers, then same thing. They take over defense handling the case.
Right. Yeah. I just want to know how that actually comes about. Like, is it ever any department, any claim can fall in under that? Or how does that work?
It could be any department. And we have pretty stringent reporting requirements under policy for departments to report to Scott. And it's mainly so that Scott and Tim and us for informational purposes are aware of anything. So slips, falls, we have incident reports that within 48 hours have to go to Scott. Any car accidents, we have incident reports, both for workers' comp and for general liability. So it's really Tim and Scott that really need to know as soon as possible. And then because there are deadlines, and I don't know them off the top of my head, but you can be denied coverage for untimely reporting, which we discussed in the past.
But basically this would trigger if there's like $1 million claim or something like that or more. Like what's the threshold? I assume you can't for like a $500,000 claim.
No, you probably can't. We would generally anything that's any serious injury, any serious concern, we would probably put them on notice and have them say yes or no, just so that we cover ourselves. Scott's really good at that stuff, to know like, okay, this is not like, you know, that fender bender clearly isn't, but you know, someone gets seriously hurt on our property, could be.
Okay.
So when we discuss this, we would want to know what the cost would be for that extra insurance.
Yeah, we'd have our broker quote probably a couple levels. Right. I'm thinking maybe a 2.5, 3 at PERMA. That's what, and again, workers' comp's a little bit different, but we found a pretty good price point at 2.5 million excess. So I'd try to find the lowest price point that looks reasonable.
A couple, yeah.
And then 5, something like that. Probably wouldn't go above 5. I think you'd want to be protected for that. And it is similar to how we fund our internal health insurance. Right. We're really self-funded except for catastrophic claims.
Right, same thing.
And so we keep the money, but cover ourselves from something, you know, really bad.
Yeah, and I like the idea of using a general reserve to build that with.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of kills two birds with one stone.
That's what I was saying. And we still get the interest out.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. And I'll ask Scott to forward this to all legislators so the ones online get it in their email.
Yep.
That was all I had. Anything else?
I did not.
Anybody? Motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
All right.
All right.
All that good discussion, you ended right at 10.